Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. God, who on this day taught the hearts of your faithful people by sending them to them the light of your Holy Spirit, grant us by the same Spirit to have a right judgment in all things, and evermore to rejoice in his holy comfort, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
A reading from Genesis. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. As they migrated from the east, they came upon a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. And they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, otherwise we shall be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the mortals had built. And the Lord said, "Look, they are one people, and they have all one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. Nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language there, so that they will not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore, it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The earth is full of your creatures. Yonder is the great and wide sea, with its living things too many to number. Creatures so small and great. There move the ships, and there is that Leviathan, which you have made for the sport of it. All of them look to you to give their food in due season. You give it to them, they gather it. You open your hand, and they are filled with good things. You hide your face, and they are terrified. You take away their breath, and they die and return to their dust. You send forth your spirit, and they are created. And so you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in all his works. He looks at the earth and it trembles. He touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will praise my God while I have my being. May these words of mine please him. I will rejoice in the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Hallelujah.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. When the day of Pentecost had come, the disciples were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deed of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Instead, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portions in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on his name of the Lord shall be saved. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Philip said to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord God Christ.
In the name of the one, holy and living God. Amen. Good morning. My name is Drew Bunting. I am a priest in the Diocese of East Tennessee, having previously served at St. Martin of Tours in Chattanooga and at St. Paul's Athens, in both places as an interim rector. My wife is April Behrens, the rector of Grace Church in Chattanooga, and we moved here for that. I was previously chaplain of St. Andrew's Sewanee School up in Sewanee. So my Sundays are free these days, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to be with you today. The first line of my sermon is, well, actually, the first thing, it sounds as like you're not hearing me breathe through my nose, right? All right, great. I needed to make sure the microphone was correctly positioned because you don't want to hear every time I take a breath. I want to show you my shoes. The first line of my sermon is explain your shoes. These are my Pentecost shoes. I wear them once a year. It's Chuck Taylor, Converse Chuck Taylor All-Stars with flames on the side. I've had them since about 2006, and I guess so that makes this the 16th time or so that I've worn them. Okay, so having said all of that, we read and hear in the reading from Acts this morning, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. That's what Jesus said to his disciples, and so they waited there in Jerusalem. He had been crucified right there before their eyes. He had been raised from the dead and appeared to them with many convincing proofs, we read. And then he ascended to heaven on the clouds, and the angels told them, Jesus will be back in the same way. So they waited, because that's what Jesus said to do. They waited in Jerusalem, and they prayed. We read they were constantly devoting themselves to prayer. What else is there to do for them in that moment? They have seen so much. They have been so uprooted from the world they knew, whether they were fishermen or tax collectors or people who were just sitting around when they heard Jesus say, follow me, and somehow they just stood up and followed him. They have been through so much together. What else is there left to do at this point but pray? But then Peter gets an idea. Peter is the one who frequently gets ideas, and it occurs to him that while they're waiting, he might as well replace Judas, right? Judas, one of the 12 closest disciples of Jesus who betrayed him. And they're down to 11. They need to get back up to 12, the number that Jesus had chosen, after all. So they pick a couple of candidates, and they cast lots, and they pick Matthias. There are congregations that choose their vestries that way today. They get a slate of candidates, people whom the congregation has discerned would be capable members of the vestry, and then they cast lots. They put the names in the hat, they pull one out. I don't know how y'all do it, but I imagine it's not like that. Yeah. So, before I go any further, it's important to ask, why did Peter think it was so important to replace Judas? Why does that matter? Why does it really matter get back up to the full complement of staff? My thinking is that his thinking was that he was trying to shorten that waiting period. Jesus said, wait here in Jerusalem. Maybe Peter is thinking, well, we better make sure things are right for him. And he had 12, we're down to 11, we'll pick another one. And then that's going to get him to come back. Because the angels told him he's going to be back the same way he left, on the clouds. Throughout Jesus' ministry, his disciples have understood him to be a Messiah. And the understanding of a Messiah at that time and place usually meant a political Messiah, a royal Messiah who's going to come back and kick out these foreign occupiers from Rome and reestablish the kingdom of Israel as it was under King David. And it makes sense for the disciples to expect this. It makes sense for everybody to expect this. There were lots of self-proclaimed messiahs at that time who promised to do exactly that, lead a rebellion against Rome. That's just what the Messiah was supposed to do. They've always had this on their minds, even right before Jesus' ascension. When they ask him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom of Israel? Because every time they thought he was about to restore the kingdom of Israel, he did something different. Something like get nailed to a cross. And Jesus tells them, don't worry so much about the timing. And then whoosh, he's gone into the clouds. But I think that the disciples didn't quite hear him when he said not to worry about the timing. I think they were still thinking about that, and that they picked Matthias as their 12th member to speed up Jesus' messianic tail whooping of the Roman Empire. And after all, if you were one of them, and if you were a member of the nation of Israel, wouldn't the number 12 have some significance to you? 12 tribes of Israel, 12 disciples in the inner circle. Those disciples represent the whole tribe, the whole package. So after Judas' death, when they realize that part of that package is missing, they get a replacement, and Matthias is added to their number, and they wait. Time for the revolution. And they get their revolution, too. But once again, it's not the revolution that they expect. As they are gathered together, suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind. And these disciples, being familiar with the Hebrew scriptures, would have recognized that as the sound that God makes, the rushing wind. It's the sound of the Ruach in Hebrew, the Spirit of God that moved over the waters at the beginning of creation. It is the sound of the great wind splitting the mountains before God speaks to Elijah by a cave. That wind is the sound of God showing up. And God here shows up with tongues of fire that come down and land on the disciples' heads. And they're filled with the Holy Spirit, and they begin to speak in other languages. Now I have to pause to say what the disciples are not doing. The disciples here are not speaking in tongues, the phrase that's used elsewhere in Christian scriptures. Speaking in tongues is a form of religious speech that is not unique to Christianity, a kind of ecstatic utterance in which believers enter into this other state and say things that are not understandable to other people. It's an old practice. It goes back in Christianity to the very beginning. The Apostle Paul, he gives directions on how to deal with the phenomenon of speaking in tongues, also called glossolalia. And Paul thinks, great, good thing, this glossolalia. He brags about how much he can do it. But he also says that in his list of spiritual gifts, it's dead last. Right? Dead last after prophecy, teaching, healing, helping others, and administration. I have seen people speak in tongues. Maybe you have as well. In my experience, it was a holy one of grace and restfulness in the Holy Spirit. I hope that it was like that for you, although that is not always the case. But whatever it was, it's not what happened on Pentecost. The point of Pentecost is not that the disciples were speaking languages that nobody else could understand. It is that they spoke languages that everybody could understand. Each of them speaking a different language. So that Parthians, this is, who was the reader this morning? Thank you. You drew one of the hardest ones. You know? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia. I've done this a lot of times. Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, Cretans, Arabs, Jews, and proselytes. All these different people. And if you look at the names of these places on a map, you'll notice that the list of people moved from east to west across what was then the known world. All those nations, all those people, the whole world is hearing the good news of Jesus. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. That's what happens on Pentecost. Everybody gets the message. Everybody hears about Jesus. The revolution has begun. Once again, not as expected. Not with a military conflict or a political victory. No, the revolution begins when Peter, standing with the 11, raises his voice and says, Peter, who previously raised his voice and said, I don't know him. Not once, not twice, but three times. I don't know this man. And now he raises his voice and delivers this speech that draws on the Psalms and the prophets and ends with this declaration that Jesus is the Messiah. And in response, 3,000 people are baptized at that moment. That's why Pentecost is sometimes called the birthday of the church, because it is the day when we as a community found the voice to share the good news of God's mighty acts. It is the day that saw the beginning of a revolution that spread from Parthia to Rome to every corner of the earth. Just not the revolution that the disciples expected. Wouldn't it have been easier if Jesus gave them the revolution they expected? Wouldn't that have been easier on us as the church if God had sent an army of conquering angels to establish divine order upon the earth? Wouldn't it be nice if God just took over and made everything right? But instead, God sends the Holy Spirit and gives the apostles the power to proclaim the gospel to the ends of the earth, which is very, very cool. But it also kind of feels like asking for a computer and being given a soldering iron. You know, I'll give you the tools to get the job done, but I won't do it for you. I must say that recently, I would gladly take the army of conquering angels, because I have no doubt that under God's divine authority, no children would be massacred in their classrooms, or doctors in their clinics, or shoppers in their grocery stores, or children on the streets of Chattanooga. I have no doubt that under the divine authority of God's conquering angels, that no nation would invade another angel, slaughtering the innocent for the sake of wheat or oil or a useful port. That no parent would race from store to store looking for baby formula. That no one would stand smugly off to the side and tell them the baby should be nursing anyway. That no pandemic would rage across the globe. That no parent would kick their middle school child out of the house for being gay. So give me the army of angels, right? But as my son's preschool teacher often said, you get what you get and you don't pitch a fit. I want God to impose this reign of ordered love. I want God to fix things. The disciples wanted that too, but they got the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so did we. Pitching a fit will not change that. But using the gift will change things. And using the gift means doing what the disciples did on Pentecost. Using the gift means preaching the good news about Jesus. Well, that's an uphill battle, isn't it? In the face of shootings and war and exclusion and hunger and pandemic, preach the good news. Seems like an uphill battle. Seems feeble, right? When people are angry and frightened and reach for their weapons because other people reached for their weapons. Well, then the good news says, well, here's a man who said to turn the other cheek and then was executed on a cross, though he was innocent. Using the gift of the Holy Spirit means, I know what you see around you. I understand the power of violence, but love will work even better. Using the gift means building community when the forces of this world want to tear us apart. Using the gift of the Holy Spirit means embracing people whom we want to hate. And somehow, it also means doing all of those things with joy. How in the world are we supposed to do that? How do you go to Uvalde, Texas with any joy in your heart? How do you face any of life's griefs with joy? Well, I think we can do it if we understand the difference between joy and happiness. Because happiness is fleeting. I'm going to be happy next week when I go to my 25th college reunion and see a bunch of my old friends. And later when I'm on hold with a health insurance company, I will not be happy. But joy is different. Joy is bone deep. Joy is in the center of our souls. Joy is knowing that Christ is raised and nothing can separate us from the love of God. Joy is an orientation. It is living with the resurrection as our North Star. And we may be happy and happiness will be the wind at our backs. And we may be sad and sadness will be the wind against our faces. But joy is the direction in which we are pointed. Joy is the assurance that we're headed to new life with God. And if that is the case, if that joy is our orientation, then we can go to the places of the world's deepest hurt and weep there. And our hearts can break as we face the violence that tries to turn this world away from joy and toward despair. And when we do that, then we can stand in the midst of that suffering and still find that our hands can work for justice. Our hands can work for justice against the oppression that tries to block joy from people's sight. And when we have that joy, we have that assurance down in our hearts. Then our voices can shout out hope. We can shout out that there is reason to hope in the face of cynicism of this world, and it is perhaps the most insidious of evils because cynicism tries to tell us that there's no joy at all. We can do those things because we know that in the end, that evil and that oppression and that cynicism are nothing but lies. Nothing but lies from the depths of hell. And I'm a person who's deeply hesitant to declare that anyone is in hell. But these days, I sure do believe that hell is real and hard at work. And yet joy is real too. And joy is stronger. And joy is more enduring. And joy has, in fact, already won. Because Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. And as that Easter hymn says, the powers of death have done their worst, but Christ their legions hath dispersed. Let shout of holy joy outburst. Alleluia. The world needs to hear that truth. Parthians and Medes and Elamites and Americans and every child of every nation. We need to hear about God's deeds of power that break death forever. And is that hard to do, to speak that truth? Yes. And will we be resisted when we speak that truth? Yes. Often and fiercely. But is it true? Yes. Oh, yes, it is true. And it is powerful and it is eternal. And it is bound to triumph because it has already triumphed. Today's the last day of Easter. Today is also the first day of that long season after Pentecost that reaches all the way to the first Sunday of Advent. It's the first day of that season, and I have to say that it does seem to dawn darkly. But dark or light, we are pointed toward joy. We are voices declaring God's deeds of power. We're messengers of a truth that cannot be shaken, even when we are shaken ourselves. So at the end of this service today, I will throw in for the last time those extra Easter alleluias. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia. And we will say together, thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia. It is still true. It is still something that needs to be said. So let's say them loud. They need to be heard. Amen. Please stand for the renewal of the baptismal covenant. Let us join with those who are committing themselves to Christ and renew our own baptismal covenant. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus Christ.
He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit?
The communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in the prayers?
I will, God's help.
Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord?
I will, God's help.
Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ?
I will, God's help.
Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself?
I will, God's help.
Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being?
I will, God's help.
Grant, O Lord, that all who are baptized into the death of Jesus Christ, your Son, may live in the power of his resurrection and look for him to come again in glory, who lives and reigns now and forever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Good morning again. I will welcome you as you also are welcoming me. It is good to be with you today. And of course, we wish all the best to Robert as he is not here today. I was happy to walk into his office and see a little baby bouncy toy and also a bowl of water for his dog. It took me back to when my own guys were little and I kept my oldest with me in my office for the 12 weeks, I think, before he was able to start preschool or nursery school, whatever he did, in Wisconsin. And I would just take him around with me to work and to lunch. And they gave me an official frequent diner card at Culver's, which is a fantastic Wisconsin burger place. And I found out later it was actually a senior discount card. But the baby was cute enough that I qualified at the age of 35 at that time. So, now I've told you a joke. Are there any announcements that anyone needs to make this morning? Please, Courtney.
I wanted to welcome you again for being with us here today, and I would like everybody to show their appreciation for his coming and being with us.
Thank you.
The vestry has a meeting scheduled for those of us who are in the vestry next Saturday from 12 to 2, which is our normal monthly scheduled visit. It's going to be a very important meeting, so we would like for all of the vestry members and anyone who would like to attend to listen in, feel free to do so, as always.
I was kind of hoping you were going to say it was today, because then I would have, for the first time, left church without going to the vestry meeting. Any other announcements? Very well. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, through Jesus Christ our Lord. In fulfillment of his true promise, the Holy Spirit came down on this day from heaven, lighting upon the disciples to teach them and to lead them into all truth, uniting peoples of many tongues in the confession of one faith, giving to your church the power to serve you as a royal priesthood and to preach the gospel to all nations. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna in the highest.
We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you've made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you've delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you've brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember his death.
We proclaim his resurrection. We await his coming in glory.
And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country, where with Thaddeus and all your saints we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters, through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
the gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Amen. The body of Christ, the bread of heaven. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food and the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Live without fear. Your Creator has made you holy, has always protected you, and loves you as a mother. Go in peace to follow the good road, and may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you this day and remain with you always. Amen. Alleluia, alleluia. Go forth into the world to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia.
Sorry about the wine. There's too much wine in there.